I'd like to call this meeting to order, the Overton Power District 5 Board Meeting in the Overton Office, May 15th at 3:00 PM. Is there any public comment? Do I hear a motion for acceptance of the agenda?
So move we accept the agenda as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for this evening. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item D, approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, April 17th, 2024. Do I hear a move for approval?
I move that we accept it.
I do have one minor correction.
Okay.
You can't beat mine to it, but you can jump in on me.
Page 1806, there's a typo on the bottom line. Need to be a nitpicker.
1806, what is it?
That's what I'm here for.
Well, do we have to postpone it out to the next meeting?
It's kind of an interesting word, we have a purchase power agreement.
That's what it is, you don't know what that means?
It's a legal term.
Is that anything like a mouse?
It was a really good purchase power agreement.
Okay. So are you correcting your approval to include the typo corrected?
Yes, I just accept if...
Okay.
Pending the...
Pending the...
Fix the word that Dale threw out there, the combination of power purchase.
If you change it, I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded, we approved the previous meeting's minutes with the one correction. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, any opposed? Okay, chair report, I have two things. One, I went to Virgin Valley last night. It was my first time to go to award scholarships. And I'm too far removed from being a part of those things. First, I was disappointed because I had to pick one or the other. Maybe had to have them at the same time in both valleys. But to see all of the joy and the giggling and the kids and how happy they all are, and the parents too, I'm really happy I did it. It was really nice to see. I never have seen them after the fact. I've always been on that side of it when we decide who. And to see the joy on the other side just kind of made it all worthwhile. It was really a nice experience. And then, on the second part of education, we have Mr. Mike Young. Can you please stand, sir? We have the NRECA Certificate of Achievement is being awarded to Mike Young in recognition of having successfully completed the Director's Gold Program. Congratulations. Come on, hey, come on.
Got to get a picture that's worthy of the paper.
That's right.
Hold on a second. Put the black part behind, Mike, that looks weird.
Oh, okay.
Fold it.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I don't know if that's just me that thought that, so I'm glad you said that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christie.
Thank you. For the second time.
Yay, hey, you do it. Okay. That's all I have to report. Does the attorney have a report?
I do not. Judy, I went to the Moapa Valley Awards, and I awarded those.
Oh, thank you so much.
You made the awards?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Isn't it great to do it? Seriously. Well, you're not.
That's a great job.
You know, those are your future leaders. When you're older and you really need them, you're going to be happy they're around. Okay. Thank you for going, though. It's nice if somebody shows up to present them. Okay. Manager's reports.
Admin services. Scott, would you go first, please?
Absolutely. Cybersecurity report. The best report here tonight. Here we go. Cybersecurity training, we're at 96% for the month of April. We learned about external storage devices, and how they can deliver malware, know where they come from, know the origin of external storage devices before you just go plug them into the PC, and then take any found devices to IT. Internal phishing results. We had one person click this past month. We do have some new employees. This was a newer employee, so we are working on that.
Well, what's the punishment?
For the first offense,
you know, the slide.
You were going to just one slide. Normally, it would be they would get put into a whole other training program.
Oh.
So that'll be the second offense. So.
But you give them a good talking to, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so I wanted to bring this up. This is an email that Melissa got, I got, and accounts payable got. So we were phished. And this email acted like it came from Meridian Co-op, which is our software company, our billing software, our accounting software. And so it came to us, and it said for us to please reply with receipt of the new ACH wire instructions. So that came to us. I immediately said this is spam. And then not too long after that, maybe a day after that, Meridian sent out an email to all the cooperatives, all of their cooperatives, that said, be aware of the latest suspicious phishing emails. And then they gave us some instructions. They gave us some emails that we should put on our blacklist, and we've gone ahead and done that. So we had our own little phishing attack simulation, and we passed.
Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, no. Me, Lisa, myself, and accounts payable, which goes directly to Shauna.
No, I mean Marshall. You all caught it.
We caught it. Okay. Yes, we passed.
Really?
Wow. It looked real official.
It looked official. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing in that email that would raise a red flag. It looked very official.
Why did you click on it?
There was nothing to click on. They wanted us to reply with our ACH information.
And your social security number.
And all of that stuff. Yeah, we decided not to do that. We thought it best we not do that. Okay, email. We got 37,000 email. 2,700 of those were spam in the month of April. We have a new firewall. So this is the new firewall report. It shows the number of hits to the firewall. Romania with 37,980 pings on our firewall. And you can go ahead and go through there and read that, but that's Romania was number one. Server system uptime, 100%. Data backup and restoration, we ended the month at 100%. Throughout the month, it was up and down, but we are at 100% down. No worries there. The EISAC, we got 85 emails from them, and this is what an EISAC email looks like. And here in the summary, the reason why we pay close attention to these emails is because the EISAC uncovered the following ransomware and or cybercrime forum posting that potentially could impact the energy sector, and then it provides you with a link and you can read further what that vulnerability was.
Would that be a place for you to report to Meridian?
We could report to the we could report Meridian, the Meridian attack to the EISAC. And then I will just briefly say that the Department of Homeland Security visited us, and we had a very good audit with them. And I'm not going to go into too much about what that was about, but I will say that IT, Stephen, Merlin, myself, were invited to take this a little bit further with the Cyber Infrastructure and Security Agency, the CISA. And so what we've done with them is we've given them our external IP addresses, and they're running penetration tests on us. So this is the first report card of what the Department of Homeland Security has found. And I'm only reporting this now because they found nothing. Everything was perfect. I won't report about this in the future. If they find something, I won't report on it because it's a public meeting. And so I will say that on their very first attempt to breach our network, they found zero hosts with unsupported software, so all of our firewalls were up to date. and they found zero potential risky open sources services, so they were not able to penetrate our network. So that'll happen every 90 days, and we're working with them to do even more audits on the internal network as well. So,
cyber hygiene, that's a new word that I haven't seen.
Cyber hygiene report card, yeah, we did really well. But like I said, I'm not going to report on this anymore. Just know that we are doing that. And that's it. Any questions?
Well, what if we keep good hygiene? Then can you tell us if we did well?
I could, yeah.
Yeah.
Just know that it's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
We get curious about executive session.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we'd want to do that report.
Well, that is all good news. That's yeah. Someplace that we've been striving to get to.
Absolutely.
Thank you for pursuing it and all is good.
These guys have done a great job with that, and it's something that they work on continually. So, hats off.
Good job.
Randall is at MIP this week and next week, so Boyd is here to give the engineering report. So we welcome Boyd, and we will turn it over to you, Boyd.
All right, it's good to be here with you guys. So I just wanted to go over a few Campbell projects that we're working on. And the first one is Tortoise to Gila. A lot of times on these, it's a hurry up and wait kind of game that we're playing. Tortoise to Gila, the 138 line is no different. We're waiting for the long lead items on the material. And then we're hopefully get our foundation drawings. And once the foundation drawings come in, which should be soon, then we'll get started on those. Raptor substation, we are currently bidding out the encroachments, which includes the sidewalks, the driver approaches, and we're also required by the city to install a fire hydrant. So all those improvements will be going in at the same time, and we're looking to get those started here first of the summer. We've also sent out bids just recently for foundations for the transformers. Our transformers are supposed to be here, I believe, in June or July. And we plan on starting the pads for Tortoise substation and Raptor substation at the same time. So that'll be prepared when the transformers get here. We can set those right on the pads. And then ECI, they should have the rest of the drawings to us here in about a month. And then we can finish bidding out those foundations. As far as the Raptor 138 line, the poles are all ready to be here this summer, also in June, July. And other than that, we're waiting on the long lead items, which typically are like insulators. Those will probably be here at the end of this year, but we're anticipating construction starting towards the end of the year or the first quarter of next year.
Boyd, where are you going to stock all those poles at?
We're working with the city. We don't know if we're going to stock them in the long drive switchyard or up on top of their parking lot temporarily until we can sell them.
Or are you talking about the 138 between Tortoise and Gila?
No,
yards for that.
You said you were getting the poles for
the Raptor.
Raptor.
Yeah. More likely, we'll try to set those inside of the long drive switchyard. We have 5 acres there.
Okay.
That we're hoping to plant some. It's just depending on whether we can get the grading completed or not, which is what I'm on now. So at the long drive switchyard, we're working on the north wall, and I do have a picture here somewhere. So currently the north wall, that's the wall that's between us and Pulte residents. That's about half built. So if you get any questions from your constituents, by the time we're done, if you go to the east side of that wall, that'll be roughly 16 feet high at the bottom end. The rest of it that's exposed will be 9 foot that they'll see. But you may or may not get questions about that on the height of it. But it's to retain all the dirt. So next week, the grading contractor is going to be in. He'll be grading back up to the wall. He'll finish the grading. And then Coco Pelli will finish the rest of the 3 walls. Here in about 2 weeks, they'll start that. So that's just another picture of where they're at right now. And that lower end that we're looking at now is the one that's going to be approximately 16 feet high. Currently, we were working on a two-phase project in Barkerville. This is on Diagonal Street. We are currently working to go from overhead to underground, and the crews are currently wrecking all of that out. If you go out there today, all the tops are already gone on the poles, and TDS is pretty much the only ones left on the poles. So we're just waiting for TDS to get their equipment off, and then we can wreck out the poles themselves. That was yesterday with one of the guys. So that line there goes behind four houses, which is one of the reasons why we're wrecking it out, to get them out from behind the houses, because we have poor access to these. And then in the second phase of this project, okay, they disappeared. So in the second phase of it, we're working currently on First West and Second West, if you know where that is in Bunkerville. We had a line of poles that were going down the middle of the back of the houses also, and two of those poles were pretty much impossible to get to, and they're old and about ready to fall. So we're working on getting all the power out to the front and tear all of that out. And our contractor's currently working there now under construction, getting all that piped in. So it'll take us probably a month, 2 months to get it completed and get the overhead out. But that's currently what we're working on there. And we've contacted Clark County. We didn't realize, but they're putting up solar lights throughout the Bunkerville. So we contacted them and asked them if they wanted power, and of course they do. So as we're going through Bunkerville, we're coordinating with them to get all of their DDD lights and the solar lights hooked up to our system. So that concludes my report, if you have any questions.
Okay, great job, Wade.
One question on the RG regarder 2 line. What's the status of that?
So they're currently at the angle pole, if you didn't know what one that is. So I think it's about halfway strung.
Oh, they've got all the poles in and they're stringing conductors?
Yes.
They started on the tortoise end, so they've crossed our lines, and like Boyd says, they're about halfway done, but they started at the tortoise side and they're working back toward Reed Gardner.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Boyd. Corey. Oh, yeah, we forgot to pass the thing down, sorry.
So for the month of April, we had a total of 93 hookups. So we had a very good month in April. 91 of those were residential and 2 commercial hookups. That leaves us a total for the year so far at 249. So just in 1 month has caught us back up to where our average. We're looking very, very positive on our growth model there.
Corey?
Yep.
Do you ever get a disconnect or somebody?
So I don't report on the disconnects, but Melissa will see, you'll see that in her financial report, and the total, that's where the fluctuation happens. Okay. These are strictly when we're hooking up new connects.
Yeah. Okay.
So locates for the month of April was 252 locates. 107 inspections, and then 571 audits. And then outages, we had a total of 17 outages. 3 of those were unplanned, and 14 were planned for maintenance. Those outages affected 53 customers for 66 customer hours. That leaves us at our AC at 99.99%. Safety program, we're still 6 years, 7 months, and 2 days with no lost time, and we're grateful for that. April's safety topic was heat exposure, MAD, and second point of contact. And then I attended NRECA Safety Leadership Summit and was able to schedule our, it's a NRECA combined with federated zero contact, they call it 2.0, which is a kind of an audit, a safety audit to see where the blind spots are that we might be missing, and I know that they're there. I know that we have some blind spots, we just need to know what those are. So in Mesquite, we pulled 23,000 feet of 500 MCM Okanite high voltage cable. And these are a couple pictures of that that development. And this is a vault, 500 racked with 500 splices in it. Really, really clean there. I just wanted to show you a little bit of what the underground world looks like a little bit. And Boyd and Kevin, they've touched on some of those other things. Well, Kevin will leave him some time to show you some good stuff. I wanted to just touch, this is one of the takeaways that I had from the Safety Leadership Summit, and one of the classes that I attended, and it taught us about safety culture, and safety culture versus safety climate. And so culture is your values and your beliefs and what you have set and what you want to accomplish and what you want to have happening. And the climate is really what is actually happening. And so our goal, I know we've had a couple of incidences here lately, and I know that our climate and our culture need to mesh and need very, very to come together very nicely. And so I want to focus a little more on that and what our climate is. And that's what Zero Contacts 2.0, when NRACA and Federate comes in to do that that internal audit for us, that'll happen in June. And so I'm excited about what we can do to continue to progress in our safety at Overton Power. That's my report. If anybody has any questions.
Okay, thank you, Corey.
Yes, Corey. Corey, can I ask my April safety meeting topic, heat exposure? Do you not only talk about what causes it, or do you also talk about what to do if it happens?
Yes, both
of
those.
Both sides. Okay. Very good.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Kevin, sub-ops.
All right. So I attended the Clara Hubble Users Conference, and that's when Shane presented for me last month. But while I was there, they had a lot of good insight on the future of the power business and kind of the direction it's going. One of the things Hubble is very invested in is AI or artificial intelligence. And what they're doing with that is they're actually embedding that into the meters. And with that, they can get a real granular picture of how the power is being used. And with that, they can bring it back in, all that information come back into an AI processor back at the office. And it'll tell them how that power is being used, how much to basically, how much that feeder needs at any given point, so they can forecast how much power is needed on a pretty granular basis. A lot of other things that they're using that information for. So it's just going to be this vast bucket of information that they can crunch and figure out how to use the power industry to use power more wisely and more efficiently. One of the other classes that I went to was how solar generation robs the power system of VARs. I don't know if you know what VARs are. It's basically, you got power factor and VARs are kind of the same thing. Power factor is the angle at which the power is being used, and so you want it to be straight in line. So if you're pulling a wagon and the wagon is turning its wheels this way, but you're still going this way, that's your power factor, that angle. The bigger the angle, the more the harder it is to pull that wagon. And that's basically power factor. What VARs is how it's the measurement of that energy that's being used to pull that. And so what happens is when they pull those VARs off the system, and I'm probably going way in too deep, but when they pull the VARs off the system...
Sounds good to me, Hannah.
It drops the voltage down on the other end, and so you have to use devices to compensate for that lack of bars on the other end. So a lot of stuff there that they taught us on, you know, what to look for, and it's not just the big ones, it's the little house ones too. They all do it because they, anyway, I don't know if I want to go too far into it, but
no.
Okay. Sorry, no. I also went to another really interesting class. They talked about zero cross capacitor bank closing. So if you close your capacitor bank on your sine wave at 0 degrees, it's a dead short, and they want to avoid that. So they have new technology so it watches that synchronization of that closing of that cap bank. So I thought that was really interesting. A lot of these things, we're probably going to start looking at implementing a lot of them so that we can kind of get ready for a lot of different things down the road. But Hubble is also modernizing a lot of equipment. They're putting communications devices on it. So like the RF system that we are implementing right now, they're going to talk to it. And one of the coolest things I've seen was this right here. And Rich might appreciate that because it is basically a recloser that drops into a fuse holder for overhead. And you program it back at the office. You put, I think it holds up to 5 shots of, you know, your 5 synchronized shots. And it communicates back to the office by that RF system. And so you can imagine you drop a fuse out, you drop this in its place after it's been programmed, and it acts like a recloser out on the line, and it communicates that information back to the office through the RF system. So that one was pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that one. The other one is, I'm going the wrong direction. The other one is these little miniature reclosers, and this does the same thing. It'll talk back into our SCADA system through the RF network that we're installing right now. And it's just it's a 50-pound recloser. It's only about this big. These guys could pack it up on their back with, you know, they could climb the pole with it on their back and set it in place. I know these guys are tough. I know they could do it.
We'll just zip it and pop it, Kevin.
But anyway, it's got all the functionality of a recloser, and it's all built into one compact unit that talks back to SCADA system off the RF network. And it's just awesome. So looking forward to that kind of stuff. The one you guys probably all want to see or hear about is the outage on Sunday, a couple Sundays ago. And I'm going to play this, and I don't know, Stephen, you might have to fast forward it or rewind it back a couple of times, because I'm just going to play it and let you watch it, and then I'm going to explain to you what's happening, and we'll watch it again, okay?
That's the Mesquite Station?
Uh-huh, that's the Mesquite Station, and we actually had cameras facing in a really cool angle to pick up a lot of really fun stuff. You might have to push play for me, Stephen. There you go. So it's about 10 seconds in. Kind of keep an eye on above that rooftop, too. Yeah. All right. So you saw a couple of things. I'm sure Rich may have picked up on that, but it was 2 shots to lock out. So if you want to rewind it, Steve, I'll show you kind of what's going on there. Bring it back to probably 10 seconds. So you look here, this is where the fault happened, and this is the fuse. This is a recloser. So yeah, bring that back again. There you go.
And that's a 69 kV fuse.
69, yeah.
On the transformer. So that's not a standard fuse.
You see the fault happening, and then you see the fuse flash at the same time. So that fault caused that fuse to blow in the 69 kV transformer. And you can see the recloser did its job. It went 2 shots to lock out. And so it did its job, but the fuse blew on the high side of the transformer. So now if you go to the next video, Stephen, and this burns for 10 minutes, 11 minutes, 11, something 11. Like that. That fuse just burns for about 11 minutes. And then the next video. Yeah, now all the it took so long that the police are all there, the fire department. But you'll see this thing just kind of burning there.
A bright light is the burning of it.
Yeah, this is the fuse right there. The firemen are just standing there just watching it. Not a big deal. It's going to go any second. I know it is. So the recloser is already locked out. There it goes right there. So that's took another couple shots. And so what that was is that fuse finally cleared. It finally opened and broke that connection loose. And the imbalance in that transformer went back to the next upstream device and opened up the next back upstream device. So a couple of things.
That's why your lights went out.
Right. Yeah.
I got to tell my neighbor about that. Borrow the video.
So, we've been...
Our crew not there to open up that switch?
No, it happened before we got there. Yeah, so, and it's kind of coincidence that Shane and I have been working with an engineering firm to coordinate our distribution settings, our fuse settings. And... We talked to him, I think it was like the next day after this happened. I think we had a meeting with them on that Monday. And we said, okay, what happened here? What do you think happened? And he's been telling us that, or through his coordination study, he's been talking to us about lowering our amperage on our phase to neutral voltage. Let me back up. What happened, the fault actually happened in the wind. The wind was blowing, and... one of the connections on a transformer came loose and smacked in phase to neutral into the neutral wire above the transformer. And that's what caused this whole chain reaction. So anyway, back to the story. We was working with him and he's been telling us we need to lower our phase to neutral current in order to coordinate better with our system. And he says, this kind of thing is what can happen with that phase to neutral current too high. And so it can blow those high side fuses. The other thing that happened is back at Falcon Ridge Substation, we just barely energized that. We had some settings there that were not quite set to where they needed to be. And so we contacted the engineer that created those settings, and he gave us a new settings file for that so that we can correct those. So outages, they're not... the best thing to happen, but we learn a lot from outages, and we try our best to try to catch all that stuff, and that's why we do the studies and all of the findings that we do. But until it actually happens, it's hard to catch that stuff. So we are working with them, and we have been working with them. The settings for Falcon Ridge have been corrected to where they won't do this anymore. And the recloser settings, once we get all of his findings back, we'll change a lot of these settings in there. So, okay. Any questions?
Just a comment. It's really nice to see somebody who loves what they're doing and does a heck of a good job.
Well, I got to give credit to Shane, too, because Shane loves to do it, too. I get excited, so does Shane. So, it's fun.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah,
here you go. Thank you. So just a couple of quick things to report on. Corey talked about our last safety meeting being about heat stress. And right now OSHA is contemplating some changes to the Nevada Administrative Code. They're looking at Code 618. And right now it's in a conceptual draft form. So I don't think that they're going to get anything done in time for summer. But what they're looking to do is to mandate that it's not just utilities, it's every organization that has people that work outside. You have to have a program of how you're going to deal with heat. You have to have a designated monitor who monitors both the program and the conditions outside. He's supposed to train the staff, and he's supposed to also design rest periods, provisions for cooling, shade, water, and all kinds of different things like that. So that's something that's going to be coming down the pike if not this summer, for sure next summer from OSHA. So something that we're going to have to keep on our radar.
Are they going to have like an air conditioning suit?
I don't think so.
Close to it.
But, we've talked internally, Corey and I have talked a little bit about this, and, we may have to, for example, if guys are working up a pole, have them come down and go sit in the truck with the air conditioning on, and while two other guys go up the pole and work. It's going to stretch our staff a little bit because of that. But, the employee safety is what's important, but we haven't had really any problems to this point. I mean, occasionally we get a guy that gets a little bit of, a heat stroke, but we haven't had anybody that's gotten sick or anything like that, and we don't want to, so we'll just be careful and watch things.
Do you ever consider working different hours?
Well, that's why in the summer we let the crews start early. They start earlier in the morning, but it still gets pretty hot by the time they get off at the end of the day. So,
do they go all day or do they get off?
They go all day. Yeah, they go 10 hours. So it's a concern. It's a concern. So we'll have the guys just kind of watch each other, make sure we don't have any problems, that we don't get on the wrong side of OSHA and give them cause to speed this up at all. Melissa and I attended the NRECA Legislative Conference last month. We went back to Washington, D.C. with our brothers and sisters from NRECA. We had a very good conference. One of the things that we did was we were able to have a meeting with BLM and with the Forest Service and talk about issues. It was kind of interesting because most of us that got up and talked were all from Nevada, which I thought was kind of interesting that either the others were scared to talk or all the problems are here. I'm not sure which way to take that.
90% of your state is government.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. One of the good things is one of the people from BLM that had to sit there and listen to us pontificate, we've known her for a long time. She used to work on Harry Reid's staff, and very, good friendship with her. So she noted our concerns. We talked to her afterwards, and it was a good visit. Now, we also visited our legislative offices. One of the tragedies of this is they decided to go on recess while we were in Washington, D.C. But we did have very good meetings with staff. And sometimes that actually works out better because we get a little more time and a little more attention when the legislator is not there. And I think we benefited from that this time. We had some really good discussions and even got into two offices that we normally don't get invited to. So it was a good visit. We focused on hydropower, we focused on permitting, and we focused on reliability and had, like I say, great visits. Now, one of the interesting things about our visit to Washington, D.C. is while we were in Washington, D.C., Congressman Horsford came to Overton and had a meeting in our office while we were in his office in Washington, D.C. So, I don't know what to say about that other than we hope that we can make a better connection there. We had a meeting with a group that's called All In. They are seeking some federal grants, and they want to take on weatherization projects and energy conservation improvements for residential and businesses. They're looking for a partner to work with. They've reached out to all the people at NREA. I think Boulder City is, sounds like that they will probably work with them. And we gave them a lot of information about our system. I'm not sure how much we can do, but we told them we'd be glad to partner with them if they get the grant and if they find the things that are workable for them, that we would be glad to work with them. Wanted to let you know that Corey's been working hard with some contractors to get bids for a crew barn. We told you when we put that on the agenda last year that we didn't know what the pricing was going to be. We figured that we would get it started, and then finish it out next year. We've found out that our bids were probably 50%, no, well, a third too low, right? So about a third low. So right now it looks like if we move forward with that project, we'll be able to start that by the end of the year, and we'll have to assign some more monies to that next year if that's still acceptable to the board. So you might want to think about that, and if you have any concerns, we can put that on the agenda to talk next time or the time after. And then finally, I want to let you know that we had an NREA meeting with NV Energy last Friday. Went into their offices in Las Vegas. We went to their control center in southern Las Vegas. We took a tour of their control center. We met with their CEO, Doug Cannon. We met with Ryan Bellows and some of their other top people. One of the people that I communicate with a lot is, his name is Josh. He's the vice president of transmission. Had a very good meeting where we talked about wildfire exposure. And boy, as Nevada Power talked about the wildfire exposure they have, it is just, it's a scary thing that we have tried to tackle in-house, but there's so much information and so much new regulation that's coming out. It's turning into a very serious, worrisome issue. And we don't have a lot of wildfire exposure, but we do have wildfire exposure across the rivers and at a couple places up in Moapa, so it's something that we're going to have to address. We talked about electric emergencies and how we're going to deal with those and how we can communicate with each other. And then we talked about grants and about how we could potentially work together with NV Energy to apply for a grant and do a joint project. So that's my report. Any questions for me on any of those topics or anything else?
I have a couple comments. One just on the wildfire.
Yes.
Hoping that you're pursuing with the fire department on that. I did give the information also to Chief Andrews up in Mesquite, so that, and he was really excited at the idea. He didn't know that that opportunity was there to work with the fire department with OPD up there if issues come up. So, hopefully, Corey and a couple of you.
Yeah, we have been intending to work with them, but we keep getting new information, and I don't think we're going to see an end to that new information coming out anytime soon.
Yeah.
So I think we're just going to move forward and start working with the fire departments, and we'll just keep adjusting as we go along. So you'll see us reach out to them and start talking to them about that.
That was one thing, and the other, I was at the Horsford meeting here in my work job, and just to report what transpired and stuff, and I was impressed with, we had a number of employees there, and Corey spoke up, and Randall spoke up, and made points with them, and were asked to make contact with Reuben, and I think was it Michael was the other one, because they said there are things that they may be able to do to help, but that they need us to have all the information together first. It's not like we have this problem, can you fix it? It's that we need to get all that information. And they, the part about the NV grant, NV Energy getting all those grants and us getting zero for rurals, you know, they seem kind of like, really? So hopefully we'll reach out to them. And I'm finding that he is a good resource, his office is a good resource. As long as you go in there prepared with what it is you want to accomplish and what your ideas are to get there. So,
well, one of the problems...
I'm just happy we had somebody here to say something.
Yeah, and I appreciate them doing that too. And, you know, in past meetings, we've reached out to his staff, and unfortunately the person that was on his staff that Melissa developed a really good relationship is leaving, and Reuben is taking that position. So, unfortunately, we're starting kind of back at square one again. There isn't much carryover on those things.
Well, there is some this time, because Reuben has, I'm assuming you're talking about Reuben.
Divya was who was on his staff, but Reuben was
the Divya was the one that we're all working with.
Yeah.
But they've been working together knowing, she gave them notice that this was going to be happening so that they could reorganize, and She actually sent out emails to quite a few people to let them know that she is leaving and, you know, encouraging them to make to reach out to Ruben, and I think his name is Mike. I have him at the office. So I think there'll be some help as long as we approach it without asking them to just fix it for us. Tell them what it is we want to accomplish and what our ideas are.
We will do that. Thank you. Okay, Melissa, financial report, please.
Kevin set the bar really high, so I'm going to talk very passionately about numbers.
I was going to say, you're going to have a dance to girls today, girl.
Sorry.
Okay, our operating revenue for April on line number one was $3,265,000. Our cost of purchased power on line number three was $1,496,000. That contributed to our total cost of electric service on line number 20 of $2,295,000. That left us a margin for the month on line number 29 of $475,000. If you go back up to line 22, you can see that our non-operating margins, or the interest that we received on investments for the month of April, was $141,000. If you go over to column B, you can see that so far our investments through April 30th have made us just over $500,000, and that's contributed to our total margins on line number 29 of $2,848,000. On the asset side of our balance sheet, we have a total utility plant value of $171 million. We have investments in associated organizations, cash, investments, and materials, along with other deferred debits, giving us a total asset value of $177,300,000. On line 36, on the liability side, you can see that our margin and equities value is now at $118 million. We have long-term debt of $49 million. We have accounts payable and other deferred credits, giving us, again, a total liability value of that $177 million. Here's a breakdown of our cash. At the end of the month, we closed our checking accounts with $4,216,000. To the right of those, you can see the dividend we've received from each of those entities. If you remember last month, we did not have anything from our CFC capital term securities, and that's at paying at 5%. That payment did come in April for $15,000. At the bottom of the page, we have our Morton asset management investments. That value is at $32.6 million, and thus far this year, they've paid us $474,000 in dividends. Goldman Sachs, at the bottom of the page, we still have $2.5 million invested with them, and so far they've paid us $47,000.
Excuse me, just something that has confused me for a long time. If our beginning balance is $4.2 million, and our margin was $500,000, that doesn't add up.
Well, because the direct correlation to margins and cash is not always exactly one-to-one, but for our cash, yes, and for our cash, we spent it. If you see, we started the month with $4.2 million, and we ended the month with $4.2 million, but we made cash and we spent cash. We have large expenditures going out. The other thing that we try to do too, Mr. Young, is monitor those cash balances, and we use our Goldman account as the wash account to move investments back and forth. This month we moved money out, but then we moved it back in, so you can see that Goldman is very comparable to where it was last month, and we've kept our month-end balance at Bank of Nevada very much what it was at the start of the month.
Okay. Well, I notice that most of the months showing this, the balance is pretty close. It seems like you'd be accumulating a lot more money. It's being moved out into Goldman Sachs account. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're spending the cash. I guess the easiest way for me to say that is we're spending margins instead of removing it from investments.
Yeah. Yeah, the capital projects that these guys have talked about, the money's going to those capital projects instead of withdrawing it from these funds, the investments.
How much cash are you spending a month?
Our check register was $3.8 million.
That's reasonable.
hey, here is a breakdown of those investments by security type and also duration. This is a breakdown of the investments that we have through Morton, and the average rate is just over 4% for all of those investments. We closed the month with 18,446 customers. That's an increase of 35. Our modified debt service coverage with estimates through the end of the year is at 2.43. Our equity as a percentage of assets is currently at 66.76%, and our TIER is at 5.79. We received, again, 78 Connect fees, and yes, Jonathan confirmed that that number was correct. It was not a typo from the prior month. That value was $28,552. We currently have 44 residential arrangements and 2 commercial arrangements, and our roundup programs are going strong for both Virgin Valley and Moapa Valley.
Is that abnormally high in Connect fees for the 2 months in a row, or is that standard?
We had a lot of apartments that were coming on, and some were of lower amperage than others, so they were less. The Connect fee was less. But yes, that is high for right now. But I think that also speaks to what Corey reported with having large Connects coming in. We have people that are coming and paying those fees, and then we have our crew is going out and actually making those connections as well. This is a breakdown of our long-term debt. We will have a quarterly payment due at the end of June, and that payment will be paid in full and on time. This is a breakdown of revenue by customer class. If we look at the bottom of the page for April, we can see that we were at 4 cents for our monthly cost. Our monthly revenue was at 10.88, and our 2024 average cost is at $54. And that concludes my presentation, unless you guys have any questions. I realize I didn't breach Kevin's bar, but I tried my very hardest.
Okay. Item H, review and possible approval of OPD 5 restocking fee policy OPD-5-10.000 possible action.
So, you know, you might question whether this policy needed to come before the board, because really it doesn't directly affect the power company. But what we want to make sure they understand is what's going on with our customers and why we're doing what we're doing. So this is why we put together this policy. As we've talked about over the past couple of years, lead times for equipment, especially transformers and switches and special electrical equipment like that, have just gone to enormous numbers. We used to be able to get a transformer in 8 weeks, and right now a transformer is 64 weeks out. So you have to wait over a year to get a transformer. And that's just a typical single-phase residential transformer. If you need something bigger, it could be a lot longer lead time. And then the prices are also going up. So what's happening is we're getting a lot of developers come in, and we tell them, hey, if you want your transformers here by the time you start building your project, you might want to think about paying for your transformers so they're on order, so they'll be here when you're ready for them. Well, we have a lot of developers doing that, which, you know, is a good thing if you go ahead and do your project. But what we've seen is, on occasion, after a year, the developer sometimes is deciding not to do their project because of all the hassles they're running into, and they want to cancel the order for the transformers or switches or whatever they've already paid for. Now, that's okay, except when we go to send those back to the manufacturer, they're jacking up their restocking fees to sometimes 50 and 75%. Of the invoice cost to take them back. And right now, as it stands, Overton Power would be liable to pay that. We don't have any agreement with the customers to say this is your responsibility. So this is the purpose behind the policy, is to say if you order transformers in advance and prepay, you're going to pay the restocking fee, and we'll refund you anything that's left over, less the return shipping costs.
That should happen. I don't understand why they're jacking up their restocking fees when they can turn on a sellout like that when you've got a waiting period of a year or much longer. I mean, the restocking it, they've got it sold the moment that you cancel your contract.
And that's true sometimes, but sometimes it's not. And with a distribution single-phase transformer, usually that's easy to turn around on those. But when you order a three-phase transformer, and those will run up to $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, those aren't always in demand like the single-phase transformers are. And so those are where you're seeing the exorbitant restocking fees is for those really expensive items that they can't turn around very quickly, and they have to use their yard space to store the equipment now. And that's their concern.
So they cancel one, is it likely that we'll need the same transformer soon for another project?
We take a look at that, and if it's something that we can use for another project, we'll just take it. Okay. And we'll refund them their money, and we'll have the next developer pay for it. But if we don't have a use for it, then we're all for sending it back. We're not going to be the storage facility for everybody that doesn't want their equipment. They're not, unfortunately.
Is there situations where we are ordering, they are coming in, and then they're sitting in our lots for months, if not years?
Yes.
To get them to do their project?
Yes.
Do we want to start charging fees for that as well?
I don't think it's that big of a problem yet with the underground equipment, but it's something that we'll want to consider for the future. If you go out to our Overton warehouse out here, we have a large concrete slab with about 60 pole mount transformers that were ordered back, I don't know, Rich, I think we hauled them over here from the Overton probably warehouse. And we use them up slowly, but we might use one or two a year. And if we get close to having a problem like that, then we need to do that. But we haven't reached that level of problem yet.
Would there be any, and I think you've talked about it with labor, but what about sharing inventory with other utilities?
So we also will share inventory with other utilities, but a lot of utilities are now going to a one-stop shop where they will have one vendor who is their warehousing facility and supplies all their materials. And so we haven't participated in those because we've been getting a lot better pricing by shopping around. So what we're asking here is will you pull up the policy? So what we do is we briefly explain this in the policy. We have the customer sign it so that they understand, and that way they can make an educated decision whether they want to order early and take the chance, or if they want to order later and take the chance. So we're putting the decision in their hands and not trying to carry the financial burden for them.
That's great. I move that we approve the utility restocking fee policy as presented.
Second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded.
Did you have to do
that? Now we approve the new OPD-5 restocking fee policy, OPD-5.
Yes. I was going to
say, it looks like an S.
It's an S, yes.
Okay, 10.000 as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And it's nice that you make the policy for it up front so that when somebody comes to us and goes, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
It's this policy.
Well, that was kind of what we were worried about.
Yeah, we have an answer, so we appreciate that.
We want you to know what we're doing.
Yeah, so that we can act like we know. Okay, we'll go on to item I. Review and possible possible approval of hiring a part-time customer relations consultant for possible action?
Well, we've taken a hard look at our customer relations. And Christy and I and Scott and I have talked a lot about this, and there's some additional things that we really feel like we should and could focus on. And with Christy being the customer service supervisor, and with a fairly new staff, she is pretty involved with that, plus with a number of other things she does with key accounts and the customer relations that she does now. We really see a need to get some additional help to help us with the customer relations information. So I have, if you would pull up that one page. So I put together a summary of proposed tasks, and I trust that you've looked at those, so we don't have to read through them all, and so I won't read through them all. But there, we've identified a number of things where we could do better. Now, our intention of this is not to take Christy out of customer relations. She will still be involved just at a different level that frees her up to do the other tasks that she does. So we're looking to find an individual or a company that could take on these tasks, that could help fill the gap for us, that I think are essential. And as I've looked through our, for example, our web page, there is some heavy lifting to do on updating some things there that we just have not had time to do. And I think the same is true with our social media. Christy does a good job of putting things out there, but I think we can do a heck of a lot more with a lot more explanation. There's a lot more write-ups and explanations that we can put on our website that would be beneficial to customers. There's different things we could do with our newsletter. There are just a lot of tasks where we could use some extra help. And so we're asking for the board to do either a part-time customer relations person or, and the way that I envision is this, is they probably work as a contract person and not as an employee of the district, that they would, we would just pay them for their services however much time that they need, so that we're not arguing about the 20 hours a week or the other things like that. It's on an as-needed type of work basis. So that's what we're looking at. We did hire a customer relations firm several years ago, and they were a bigger firm, and we just didn't quite get what we needed out of them. They were, for them to help us out, they needed to dedicate an employee to us. We would have had to pay a heck of a lot more than what we were paying them. So even though we paid them about $35,000, we really, I don't think, got $35,000 of work out of them just because of the structure of that company being too big. So we're looking for something a lot more personalized that we can use, and that's one reason why we're looking at the contract type basis. So any questions for me on that?
You discussed about a prospect last month. Is that still a consideration?
Yeah, we have some prospects out there.
Okay. It seems like this is a time when we really need this, because with a rate increase, there's always a lot of feedback. And the relation we have with our customers will mean a lot to us to explain to them. And the good job I think we're going to do at making that a minimum possible raise that we can get by with. I think that would be a great public relations coup if we can do it right.
Well, lately we've really been involved in three really big issues where we could use some help. One is, you know, a potential future rate increase. One is some of the information that's flying around during some of the campaigning that's going on out there, and people speaking about Overton Power not perhaps as accurately as they could. So that's a big surprise. And there's just a number of things like that that we could deal with and use some help with that we're not addressing right now. Right now we're just letting it fly.
I move we approve the proposal to hire a
part-time consumer relations, public relations too, really, isn't it?
Yes. We're calling it customer relations because we have customers. We don't consider them to be public, so it's kind of wordsmithing a little bit, but that's the approach we took.
Because everybody here is a customer in our service area.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then we approve that. OPD, something further.
Yeah, okay.
I got it. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the hiring of a part-time customer relations consultant as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Public comment. Okay. Board comments.
I do have one. I think it was at the last meeting, it might have been the meeting before. To have some kind of review of our policy with solar clearance at the end of each year, that taking them, balancing out, I guess, the account. And are we making any progress on it, you think?
So I've talked to some of our neighboring utilities to see what they do. We had a talk about this at our staff meeting. We like the way our policy is right now, and it's pretty consistent with what people are doing around us, but we haven't finished our full examination of that yet.
Okay, I tell you, my particular experience with it, I felt kind of unusual because the customer had $35 for the credit or some small thing, and I had a lot of help from your staff, by the way, trying to work that out. And I think he was satisfied at the end, but for $35, we took that $35 of power he gave us back and sold it for 70 to somebody, or some other number, let's put it that way. So why not just, in my opinion, just square with it. When it, we owe him a few dollars, so what, back and forth. And I know we do if it's bigger money, I think, 150 of it.
So we refund up to $150 at the end of the year. So he had $185 coming back. Yeah. We gave him 150.
And I just don't see that, and I don't really mean cheating them out of it, but sort of, hey, we owe them the money, just pay them off. It makes everybody appear frontline. And it's only a few dollars, but I think it's a good customer relations possibility. So take a look at it again with your staff, or consider that particular aspect of it. $35, not worth it. And he sort of came in originally thinking we sort of cheated him out of it. It's our policy.
But he had signed an agreement. But here's the problem is we work with people to put a certain amount of solar on the roof. And oftentimes they're putting more solar than we've agreed to on the roof and then come back and want us to pay for it.
I understand.
And I don't think that's fair either to our other customers.
But we have a limit on how much they can put on their roof.
Yeah, but they're exceeding that and we can't stop them.
Limit lower.
And that's the problem. Anyway. People will put anything on there if we're just going to pay everything back. And that's the concern.
And $35, but I just.
But we have some that are more, and that's the problem. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah,
we've drawn a line, and people are going across it. So where do we move the line to now? That's what we're struggling
you're
with.
You're sort of talking of grossly. Now $35 is not.
Well, what this individual needs to understand is OPD is providing this amazing backup battery for next to nothing.
No, it's $32.40
exactly,
a month.
Exactly, right? And so if they've overbuilt their system, that's on
that. No, I understand that, totally. I just don't think it's worth the bad feelings somebody might have for a few dollars.
If it comes back,
we're selling it and making money then.
It comes back to the age-old problem of once a precedent is set. Now, I totally agree with you. $35, come on. Give them the $35. But is $35 the max that anybody's ever done? Are you going to feel the same way if it's $500 we have to give them back?
Yeah, you can't police every system out there.
You can raise the limit to $200.
There's always going to be somebody.
We need to follow our policy.
Yeah.
If we want to raise the limit from 150 to 200, you have the right to do that, but we don't want to put them in a position where they have discretion to say, hey, my buddy's bill is at 185, let's give him the 35 bucks. Here, hers is at 190. Nope, we're following the policy. We always want to follow
the policy. I'm talking about a policy change. I'm not talking about giving him $35. I'm saying that it just seems to me that basically somehow seems unfair. And that's where I'm coming from.
Is there any way to get a breakdown of the range of what they were?
Yeah.
I don't mean every individual. You don't have to go, okay, this guy. But if you can give us some kind of a graph that says this, starting at this, we had a $5 one, then we had somebody that was 100, then we went up to 200, then we went up to something that shows us what that range is and give us something.
We can certainly do that, but everything that we've looked at from a data standpoint is an argument against changing it. We discussed what Chad mentioned, that we're serving as their battery, and if they wanted to get a battery, it would cost them far more than what we're doing. We've looked at a number of different things. If you look at CFC's study, they said that our solar customer should be paying a higher base charge, and we're not doing that. So everything that we see says we're okay where we're at, but if the board wants us to change that policy to $200, I have no problem with that. If that's what we want to do, we're not going to fight you on that.
Exactly.
That's right.
That may be true.
Exactly.
We may be.
Or 2,000.
I think you just let us know what the numbers are, and then obviously maybe if somebody's getting 500, we're not probably going to give them that.
Well, not yet, but in a few years we'll get there, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I think the customer knew what it was when they signed up.
Yeah.
If they overbilled, it's on them.
Yeah.
I mean, my neighbor across the street with a lot of 20 pounds put 40 on the home. We would not hook it up because of this issue, because I'm so grossly overbilled. I
understand that. Yeah. It's just.
But I think we get into that, and everybody's going to want, hey, I did now 500 or 1,000 or 2,000. You know, I'm being taken advantage of.
Well, how about then raising the base charge for them? So, because it does take a special accounting. You're keeping track of every back and forth. Base charge.
I just don't know what we're going to do that's going to make everybody happy all the time, and so my answer is just leave it where it's at. But if you guys feel different,
I feel just the opposite of my head.
So it's 50-50. Yeah.
50-50. I have a question. Are we doing temp help? Have we flown those positions? Have we hired? Where's that at?
So when are we doing interviews for those?
I just scheduled 13 for next Wednesday and 5 for Thursday, and waiting for a few phone calls back.
Okay. Awesome. Cheers. Thanks for asking.
And we got really good response, didn't we? We got
20.
That's for the temp as well as the internship.
That's just the temp. So
now,
there's
a mix because a few of them are already graduating and going to college.
Okay.
So
okay.
Thank you. We're doing all interviewing all of them.
Any more board comments?
On that subject, in reviewing the application for the scholarships, one of our questions was, did you participate in the Overton Power youth program? I have not read one application that said they knew anything about it. So if we get that part-time person, maybe they need to go to the high schools and pitch it a little bit.
We've tried advertising the paper. We've tried talking to the counselors. The words are spreading pretty slow. So, but yeah, we need to find, I don't know what the answer is to that, to get to spread faster.
You can share it on, I remember seeing on Facebook, it was shared on Facebook.
It was on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I sent flyers to both high schools.
But it is picking up steam, finally. When we start off, we got two in each valley, so we just didn't even have to interview. It's like you're hired.
Any more comments? Questions? Okay, item L, approval of the next board meeting, June 19th, 2024, 3 p.m. in the Mesquite boardroom for possible action. Do I hear a motion?
I move we approve the next meeting, June 19th, 3 p.m. in Mesquite.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to have our next board meeting, June 19th, 2024, at 3 p.m. in Mesquite. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Okay. I will be unable to attend that meeting. I'll be out of the country.
Oh, wow, nice.
Extradition.
It's post-wedding, get out of town thing.
Oh my gosh.
I got a wedding a week, a couple weeks before it.
Family.
My daughter number three is getting married.
My daughter number three. Not Julia or Joni, but my number three. Well, congratulations.
One of the things before we wrap up here, one of the things I need to ask you is, I haven't seen when Virgin Valley High School is doing homecoming yet, but the Moapa Valley homecoming is right the day of our board meeting. Does anybody care about that? Do we need to adjust our October board meeting?
Well, isn't homecoming is usually like at 6 o'clock?
They usually have the parade and stuff in the early afternoon, then the assembly right after.
As long as we have the agenda.
It won't be.
We're going to be talking about capital projects.
Skip the manager reports.
There you go.
Yeah, we could skip reports and do some things. So.
We can let y'all off at one time, right?
Yeah.
We'll just adjust accordingly. Okay. If that's okay for you. Never mind, we can't hold on. Okay, do we need to go to executive session?
I don't have anything unless you guys want to talk to me about something.
Okay, then I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
I second.
I think I'm
beating. Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
I was
passionate. All in favor?
Quick draw.
I should have recorded on this. This is them stretching the line over 69-138.
Yeah, you should show a picture of that. Here, let me show that to Melissa. So there's the guard structure on the line.
That's them reaching the G line across our 138-69 lines.